The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marks. How are you?
I'm always good when I talk to you guys, and I love getting questions from the listeners. It's always a pleasure.
All right, so thank you. Helene wanted to know, she said, please, Kathy and Simon, clarify for me, did Milko buy Clover or did those stop it just had any, whatever. She wants to know. Helene wants to know, did Milko buy Clover? Rolene,
well,
can you update us?
Rolene to Helene, I will give you the answer. As we know, BDS tried to break off or interfere with the deal, but the current status is as follows. Clover has dismissed any threats to boycott its products by the opponents of this deal, which is a 4.8 billion rand proposed buyout, which can you imagine how much revenue it brings to the country, but also how much employment it can create. So the background is that a consortium of companies led by the Israeli-based Central Bottling Company, or CBC, they offered Clover shareholders a 25 rand per share in the deal. So now where the deal is currently is that Clover CEO Johan Forster in a statement said that it now goes to the shareholders to vote it through. And he says, we cannot select our shareholders. He says, but the Clover brand is well known. Consumers are loyal to our various brands, and you know, the interest expressed by Milko in Clover is nothing less than positive. Now, the Department of International Relations and Cooperation also weighed in last week, and they said that the deal meets all the international criteria. They will not interfere or stop any deal from going through. And, you know, it's bringing very, very welcome investment to the country. So on March the 29th, the shareholders of Clover will vote, and we really, really hope that it goes through. And in a statement from Forster, he said, it's good for South Africa that an international company wants to grow South African products. This is not a merger. There will be no job losses. So very, very positive for South Africa. If anyone tries to break the deal because of petty politics, that is just not just anti-Israel, it's anti-South African, in my opinion. So I hope this clarifies it for you.
No, that certainly did. Rolene, I'm going to continue to go off script for a little short while because I WhatsApped myself an article yesterday from...
You didn't have anyone else to send it to, yeah.
I do that to myself all the time, so it's okay.
No, it's great because it's here. And this is just, I think this is such a significant article that just nobody seems to have spoken about. It was in the Jerusalem Report yesterday, an article by Haggai Hakoin, and it says as follows, American support for Israel falls to 10-year low, poll finds, with a big picture of Ilhan Omar underneath. What's your response to that?
Okay, my response is very interesting to that because, you know, you get the politics of fear and then you get the politics of fact. And I think this is, very much fear mongering, by the reporter, okay. Because if you look at the numbers, Israel still enjoys the majority of support from Americans. Is the Democratic Party right now perhaps a little bit divided? According to Democrats, no. According to veteran Democrat Dana Shalala, who served, you know, in the Clinton administration, who's now also one of the new members of Congress. She said, no, she said that the overwhelming majority of Americans support the state of Israel, and that the reason that is getting so much coverage is because these are young congressional stars, because of the comments by Ilhan Omar and also by Ocasio-Cortez and the third in the trio, which is Rashida Tlaib, because they are so fascinating to the media, they're getting a lot of coverage. But America's support for Israel is strong, and she hopes always will be. Incidentally, in the Republican Party, support for Israel has grown.
Yeah, no, it was that left wing of the Democrat Party, which had sort of sunk to the lower 40s, which just seemed to me, it seems to me that we can't ignore it. That we can't kind of wish it away.
We mustn't ignore it. And I think it's also very important that we in Israel examine if there is a drop in support from our diaspora communities or from our main allies. We have to question why. We have to look at our response to that. You know, it's very, very interesting to see how Israel is perceived around the world. You know, yesterday, one of my colleagues and I addressed a group of German trade unionists and students who were visiting the country. They come quite often on various programs. Yeah. And we had a fascinating discussion about borders. For them as young, and I'm talking about in their 20s, Germans, the concept of borders and, you know, national pride and a country is almost anathema these days. And yes, their German history has a large part to play in it. And they couldn't understand why for us it's so important to have a strong Israel, a supported Israel, and why it's so important for Jews to have a nation state. It was a fascinating conversation. Although I did say to them, if I asked the same question of maybe young French people, would they also say, you know, no borders, etc.? And they said they doubt it. For them, they feel it's a very much a German thing. So it's just very interesting to observe perceptions in other countries with regards to Israel and how we are supported.
Sure. Okay, so then let's move on to events in Israel itself.
Before you do that, can I please just get to Helene's message? She says, "Todah rabah, Rolin, and have a good Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael."
Bisimcha,
nice? Gamat. Okay, so bisimcha means with joy, and
with
Gamat,
joy,
and you
with
too.
Pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, now we can move on.
I just wanted you to address the issue of Gantz suing Israel Hayom.
Okay. I have to ask you guys a question. Remember a couple of weeks ago we decided, like, do we boycott anti-Semites, etc.? Remember we were talking about Roald Dahl and a whole lot?
Yes,
and Bill Cosby.
Okay, so this has brought up another question. If something happens 40 years ago, like allegedly, like John Wayne is alleged to have made homophobic comments, or somebody's made racist comments, you know, in their youth, do we drag it up and make an issue out of it? Because we have a very, very fascinating issue brewing in Israel. We have news of alleged sexual misconduct 40 years ago, where a 17-year-old Benny Gantz is alleged to have flashed a 14-year-old girl at the time, who today has no recollection of the event. She apparently has no recollection of the event. This was coincidentally dug up by Mary Regev, who is one of the top seeded on the Likud list, coincidentally just before an election. So there's a lot of discussion here in Israel. Is it a political smear or what's going on? So today, Benny Gantz.
Hold on a second. This just happened in the United States as well. What was the name that judge they wanted to appoint? And somebody came out of the woodwork and said, yes, but when we were 13 or 12, but I can't really remember the age. It was a woman and she couldn't remember who it was or when they were and, you know.
She lost the nomination or what?
No. He was still appointed anyway. But it was quite a traumatic. What was his name? Help me out. 34519.
Brett someone will come to me, of course, at 2 o'clock Brett? In the morning.
Kavanaugh.
Brett Kavanaugh. There we go. See, between the two of us, Kathy.
We could run the world.
The answers to everything.
Into the doldrums. Okay. Let's carry on.
Okay. So Gantz has, countersued Israel Hayom, which, is known to be a pro-Netanyahu newspaper. And he is suing both the reporter Daniel Roth Avneri and the editor-in-chief Boaz Bismuth. And he says, it's blatant journalistic negligence. Because the alleged victim has no memory of this.
And she hasn't filed a complaint or anything, has she?
She hasn't filed a complaint. This is, you know, just mysteriously.
So what is the issue?
No, this is
was dug up. Yeah.
So here's the thing. you know that whole thing about saying, you know, ask your teenager, they know everything. They don't actually know everything. If I think about the stupid things that I did in my youth, I'm so grateful that there was no Facebook where I could Facebook it or Facebook Live it. Do you know what I mean? Sure. And it's just, it's stupid, like completely stupid things.
I mean, but the stakes are high.
By nature, youth is not intelligent in making wise, you know, not making the wisest choices about life. So,
but also, why does this come up now and not when you had another high-profile?
Exactly. Yeah. But Israelis are smarter than that, surely. I mean, they're going to see through this ploy.
Well, we are seeing through this, and we're seeing that, you know, when the prime minister is being possibly indicted, or more likely indicted, for breach of faith, bribery, and fraud, and Israel Hayom is one of the factors in this indictment, and this pops up. Well, you know, two and two not equaling four so much.
Yeah.
Clive, thank you so much. Clive says that it was Kavanaugh. Yeah, Brett Kavanaugh. And what was her name, the one who couldn't quite remember? She had some kind of amnesia. She couldn't remember what year, how old, where they were, whose house, whatever. But she came with a complaint. Maybe you remember that. Susie somebody. Was it Susie somebody?
Oh, I've got no whatever. Reflection.
34519 or 061-895-1019. Rolene Marks, we say Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom,
and thank
guys.
You so much. And we'll catch up with you tomorrow on the Morning Mayhem, the Balagan Baboker. We're doing an outside broadcast at King David Links Field tomorrow morning. So you'll be coming to us on the field, on the pitch. Actually, it's not on the field. It's by the...
Probably the only time I've ever been on a field.